Hey everyone, welcome back. We're diving deep today. You ready for this?
Absolutely, should be a good one.
All right, so if you're listening, chances are you're either thinking about a future in medicine, already deep in the world of cardiology, or maybe just, super into how your heart works.
And that's great, because today we're going to break down these things called cardiac biomarkers.
Yeah, these are pretty important, right?
They are. They're like these little signals your heart sends out when, when something is not quite right.
Fascinating stuff. So for this deep dive, you brought some seriously in-depth notes, which is awesome. I've been looking them over, getting prepped, and I gotta say, I'm ready to get into it.
Let's do it.
All right, so first things first, what exactly are cardiac biomarkers? For those of us who might not be cardiology experts.
Okay, so imagine this. Your heart's kind of like sending out these tiny messages in a bottle, right? When it's stressed, when it's working too hard, something like that.
Okay, I like that analogy. Makes sense.
These biomarkers, they're the messages floating around in your bloodstream, just waiting for us to find them and figure out what they mean.
So they're like clues, little puzzle pieces we have to put together to get the full picture of what's happening with the heart.
You got it.
Okay, so I'm seeing from your notes here, we've got a few major players in this game, right?
Yeah.
We've got troponin, CK-MB, myoglobin, and BNP. Let's start with troponin. That one seems to be like the big deal in cardiology, right?
Absolutely. If you had to pick an MVP for heart diagnostics, troponin would be it. It's the gold standard, really, for detecting damage to the heart muscle, especially after a heart attack.
Okay, that makes sense. So if someone's having a heart attack, troponin levels in their blood would spike.
Exactly. See, troponin is this protein. It's found specifically in heart muscle cells.
So when those cells are injured during a heart attack.
Boom, troponin spills out into the bloodstream, and that's what we measure.
Gotcha. But I did see in your notes that troponin can also be elevated in other conditions too, not just heart attacks. So how do doctors know what they're actually dealing with?
That's a great question. It all comes down to understanding the concept of sensitivity versus specificity. So, a highly sensitive test, like the troponin test, it's amazing at picking up even tiny amounts of heart damage. But,
There's always a but, right?
right, it might also raise a flag in situations where, maybe the heart's just under stress, not necessarily a full-blown heart attack.
So it could be like a false alarm in a way.
In a way, yeah. That's why we always look at the whole clinical picture, the patient's symptoms, what their EKG looks like, other factors, and that helps us figure out why that troponin level is elevated.
Okay, so it's not just looking at one number in isolation. It's about putting all the pieces of the puzzle together.
Exactly.
All right, so troponin is a key player. What about those other biomarkers you mentioned? How do they fit into all of this?
All right, well, next up we have CK and CKMB. These guys are enzymes that get released when a muscle, any muscle, is damaged. Now, CK is kind of general. You'll see it go up with all sorts of muscle injuries.
So not as specific to the heart.
Right. But CKMB, that's a subtype of CK that's mostly found in the heart. So it's a much more specific clue that something's going on with the heart muscle.
Interesting. So CK is like a general distress signal,
Right.
while CKMB is a more direct line to the heart.
Perfect analogy. Then we've got myoglobin, another protein that's released from damaged muscle. This one's kind of like the early bird. It pops up quickly after an injury, but it also fades away pretty quickly. Less specific than troponin or CKMB, though,
How come?
because myoglobin can come from skeletal muscles too, not just the heart. So if you
Oh.
see it elevated, it could mean a heart issue or could mean something else is going on.
So another piece of the puzzle that needs to be interpreted carefully.
Exactly. And then we have BNP, which stands for B-type natriuretic peptide.
Okay, that one sounds a little different.
It is BNP. Think of it like a pressure gauge for the heart.
A pressure gauge, okay.
Yeah. When the heart muscle is stretched too thin, like in heart failure, it releases BNP to try to lower the pressure. The higher the BNP level, the more strain the heart's under.
So if BNP is high, that's a red flag that the heart's struggling.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got our all-star lineup of biomarkers. We've got troponin, CK-MB, myoglobin, and BNP. But you mentioned earlier that the timing of when these biomarkers show up is really crucial. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Absolutely. Knowing when a biomarker appears and how long it sticks around, well, that helps us figure out if we're dealing with an acute situation or a chronic condition. It can even help predict future risks.
So it's not just about whether they're there or not. It's about their timeline, how they relate to a potential heart event.
Exactly. Take troponin, for example. It typically starts to rise a few hours after a heart attack. but it can stay elevated for up to 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
What? Yeah, that longer time frame makes it super valuable for diagnosing what we call silent heart attacks.
Silent heart attacks.
Yeah, those are heart attacks that might not have the classic, super obvious symptoms.
So someone could be having a heart attack and not even realize it.
It happens. And that's why troponin's so important. It can pick up on those hidden heart events that we might otherwise miss.
I can see how that would be super important for pharmacists who are looking at these test results, right?
Absolutely. Pharmacists need to understand the time course of these biomarkers to make sure they're interpreting the results accurately.
Okay, so troponin, slow and steady. What about CKMB?
CKMB, on the other hand, rises and falls much quicker than troponin. It's really helpful for tracking immediate damage, but not as useful for catching those delayed diagnoses.
So each biomarker has its own unique timeline, which gives us a different piece of the puzzle. This all seems incredibly valuable for patient care, but can you give us some specific examples of how these biomarkers are actually used in real-world situations?
Sure. Imagine a patient comes into the ER complaining of chest pain. Their EKG is kind of borderline, not totally clear, but their troponin level is high.
So that would be a strong indication of heart attack.
Exactly. And that would trigger immediate treatment. In another scenario, you might have a patient who has risk factors for heart disease, but they're not showing any symptoms yet.
So they seem okay on the surface.
Right. But then we check their BNP level and it's elevated. That could be an early warning sign of heart failure even before any symptoms show up.
Wow. So biomarkers can act like an early warning system, potentially catching things before they become a major problem.
Precisely. They can also be used to monitor how well treatments are working. Let's say a patient is taking medication for heart failure. Ideally, their BNP levels should start to come down as their condition improves. If they don't, well, that might be a sign that the treatment plan needs to be adjusted.
Okay, so we're talking about diagnosis, early detection, and even monitoring treatment effectiveness. That's a lot of power packed into these little molecules.
It really is. And we've only just scratched the surface here. The field of cardiac biomarkers is constantly evolving. New research is always leading to more precise and personalized approaches to cardiovascular care.
It's amazing to think about how much information we can glean from these tiny messengers in the bloodstream. This deep dive has been incredible. It's amazing how much we've learned just from going through the notes you brought.
And this is really just the beginning. There's so much more to learn and explore in this field. I encourage everyone to keep digging deeper.
Great advice. And remember, folks, knowledge is power. The more you know about your own health, the better equipped you are to make informed decisions and advocate for yourself.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, everyone, that's a wrap for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time for another fascinating exploration into the world of health and medicine.
See you then.
Bye for now.